Hello, everyone. This is Carissa at Quality Time. How is everybody? It is 5:07, and so I'm rocking this all alone tonight. Laurie is away, and so good to be with you guys tonight. It's Friday. Not that it matters for the weather. I guess the weather is just still pretty crappy, but it's too bad. I feel bad for all the people that are working and stuff, and it's all like sunny and all that. And I mean, yep. I guess we can take what we get. So I guess we had some decent news today. I want to look it up about the voting. I'm going to look that up, and I'm going to talk about that later on in the segment. And so it's kind of lonely here without other people. I always invite people to come in the studio. So again, this is Carissa, and I'm here with you. Like we got something here in the studio. Something about an annual family fun day. It's the 8th annual family fun day to benefit the Hebron Food Pantry. This would be tomorrow at Willett Field, 32 Watson Avenue in Attleboro, right here in town. Check-in is at 12 p.m. Looks like the walk-ins are 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. Registration is $25 for adult. Children are $10, and children under 5 are free. Hooray for being 5, under 5. We're giving out t-shirts. So it looks like just kind of a family thing to do. Looks like there's an image here of some games, outdoor games that they're playing too. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, that's about it. So, just want to share that I'm doing pretty good. We've been talking about my situation with my transition here, and it's been another week of recovery for me. Things are going well. I'm gonna have a follow-up appointment with my doctor next week before I go back to work. I have to admit I am a little bit work sick. I do enjoy my job very much. And even more so, the people I work with. I'm very blessed. I found myself just designing things anyway at home just because it's fun, I guess. Sometimes up to like 3 in the morning because I can't sleep or whatever. Or you get enough to cook and you just kind of going on and on and on. But it's just something to do. I do love video games. I do have a bit of addiction with that, but I just noticed that with transition and, you know, female hormones and stuff, not as into it as I used to be, definitely not as competitive. So, the situation is going well. A lot of support from my church family and, my friends and other family, and things are good. I was telling my girlfriend, actually, just trying not to make it sound like I was a host on, a radio host on NPR. I bet you I do sound a little bit like NPR. It's just the way I am. So, so I guess we will take a break, and we'll be right back with this spot. That's Crazy in Love by Beyonce. I love that song. I love the retro sound there. So, as I was talking about before, so the House passed the sweeping anti-discrimination bill to expand protections of LGBT people. This happened today, early this afternoon, in fact. as paraphrasing from CBS News, Democrats in the House had approved it in a sweeping anti-discrimination bill that would extend civil rights protections to LGBT people by prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity. I mean, I would also have to say and or gender identity to be specific. The measure passed a vote of 236 yeas to 173 nays, with 8 Republicans joining the Democrats in support of the bill. That's amazing. I want to thank those Republicans for having the courage to speak their mind and speak from as individuals. So thank you. For the record, I'm a kind of a center in the road person. I can be kind of conservative in some ways. I can be liberal in other ways. I just like to vote with my heart and with my God of my understanding in mind. So this is called the Equality Act. Fitting for equality time, isn't it? The legislation updates existing federal non-discrimination laws, including the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Fair Housing Act, to confirm that discrimination based on sexual orientation and or gender identity is unlawful discrimination based on sex. It would extend protections to employment, housing, loan applications, education, public accommodations, and other areas. I'm going to cry. This is so good. I can't believe this. The bill is a top priority of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who said it will bring the nation closer to equal liberty and justice for all. Co-sponsor of the bill, Rep. Dave N. Cicilline, Democrat of Rhode Island, said the LGBT community has been waiting nearly 250 years for such a legislation to pass. Yeah, imagine what this means. I mean, this still has to go through the Senate, but my goodness, this is really good news indeed. Let's see. Cicilline continued to say equal treatment under the law and a commitment to fairness and equality are founding values of our country. Discrimination of any kind is wrong, and no one should ever be treated as less than equal because of who they are or who they love, said Cicilline, who called on Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to bring the bill to the floor as soon as possible. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, David Cicilline. I just want to reiterate, this isn't necessarily because those people who live under the rainbow have an agenda per se. This is just equal rights. That's all we're asking. So many people are hurt on a daily basis, in fact, who are LGBTQIA. Even those people who are outwardly proponents and supporters of those who are a queer of any kind or in any way, they too can sometimes be subject to ridicule. This is often, as we all know, under false assumptions of religious convictions, based on fear and misunderstanding of what it means to be transgender and or gay or lesbian or bisexual, pansexual, whatever it is, you know. It's, you know, as someone who studied the Bible quite a bit, and I've said before in previous shows, there's no evidence in the New Testament that shows, you know, homosexuality as sinful behavior. It's discussed in the Old Testament, of course, until the New Covenant, when, you know, after Jesus did his works, and has a, you know, God has a new deal with Jews and Gentiles alike. So the new deal is, you guessed it, the golden rule. All it is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the new deal, and that's it. And you do that, and you are satisfying God's requirements. So this isn't a religious show by any means. I just wanted to express a point and drive a point that, based on my opinion and with my, personal education on the matter, and talking with many pastors throughout my years and stuff, that's how I see it, and that's I see the living proof of it in Scripture. For those people who are antagonists of LGBT folks, based on religion, is unfounded. It really is. Their feelings are not unfounded. They have feelings. Everyone's definitely, I feel, is allowed feelings. Absolutely. And you know, as we say, feelings are real. And, you know, but they also say feelings are not facts. That's what makes them feelings. We can't see what other people are feeling. We don't see feelings. Thank goodness we can't do that. Could you imagine if people could read minds? But yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, empathy, I think, is the big thing. This is something I've learned in my story in the last number of years transitioning, is understanding empathy for other people. I remember a long time ago, I had a girlfriend who reminded me in my very younger, cocky years. I was in my early 20s. She was older, more mature than I was, and just reminded me as a stubborn, self-righteous, quote-unquote dude, as I was, as I lived, that I need a slice of humble pie. And yeah, I was cocky. I was definitely full of myself, and she saw it. And I just never forget the time that I just needed to be humbled. And sometimes I've learned, and especially in the last 5 years after my divorce from my once dear wife, that humility has been one of the biggest gifts that I've received in life. But it doesn't come out without, it doesn't come without a price. The price is usually emotional pain, but what doesn't kill you makes you stronger to, you know, forgive the cliche, but that's definitely been my case. And that's okay. That's part of the growing process. This is what my daddy always said. You know, you gotta, you know, just to basically paraphrase all the lessons that he's taught me, is that to understand and to benefit from your reward, you have to come sometimes go through the pain first. You know, you have to go through the pain first before actually understanding what it means. I've heard pastors talk to me about that's the lesson of the Old Testament versus the New Testament. It was there. We had to understand the laws. We had to understand all that, what looked like to be negativity, but it was just hard law that nobody could satisfy until someone came by and, you know, Jesus Christ, and he satisfied the law. And we saw a new covenant, like I said, and that was just a way of really coming out and understanding what love really is. Just an unconditional love and support for your fellow, for the fellow man, woman, child, non-binary, whatever, you know. So that's just what's lovely. So I'm going to continue with this the story after the break, and we'll be right back. Hello, everybody. We're back. Just continuing the story of Equality Act of 2019. See, equal treatment under the law, I'm paraphrasing again from CBSNews.com. Equal treatment under the law and commitment to fairness and equality are founding values of a country. I had continued from reading before the break. Many of the 2020 Democratic contenders also came out in support of the legislation, including Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris, as well as Julian Castro and a couple others. Many of these, the candidates all implored their Republican colleagues to seriously consider the legislation. I mean, that's no surprise right there, to be honest. The measure has the support of a variety of LGBT advocacy groups, including the Trevor Project, the world's largest suicide organization for LGBTQ youth, who called the move a monumental step for equal rights protections, as well as one of the country's largest labor unions, the United Food and Commercial Workers International Union. So, speaking a little bit about suicide prevention, amongst trans people, it has been previously discussed in circles about the suicide attempts for those people who are trans has broken over 40% attempted. And subsequent years, it's been 41%, and it's been hovering right around there, I believe. I don't know what the current level is. But 40% is 40% too high. Would a straight child, straight, hetero, non-trans, a cisgender child ever kill themselves because they were straight? You know, that's the question I like to ask. This isn't about, you know, it's not about... Again, it's not about having a gender. This is just equal rights. I mean, people, we try to say that and reiterate that being gay or being trans is not a choice. It really is not a choice. Believe me, like I said in previous shows, I tried everything I could think of, opening my heart and soul and spirit to all forms of alternatives to transitioning, you know, massive amounts of prayer. I used to be a far-right conservative Christian myself, just a number of years ago before I transitioned. And a lot of it was because I was jealous over other people who were LGBTQ because they had the courage to do something that I didn't. And while I was not an opponent in any way, shape, or form of LGBT, I was just simply jealous that I couldn't do it because of what I understood my faith was and how it was structured at the time. I reckon that I knew a lot of book smarts from scripture and just did a lot of reading and thought and prayer and meditation about the matter. Definitely prayer to pray the trans away. I did plenty of that over many years. I was suicidal much of the time. And talking between my experience and talking with many other people who identify under the rainbow, a lot of their angst is fear of rejection from family, especially family, friends, school, church, and other institutions and principles that they have no choice but to be mired in, because they are minors. They have their parents, and the parents would have certain convictions and say, you know, little Timmy and Susie says, "No, I'm really a girl or a boy, respectively." And the parents are like, "No, you're not," and just gaslight them out to into next week. Or just think it's just good parenting to just shut out the kids' opinions on the matter. This isn't the answer. doing that puts a feeling of shame and guilt into the child. And for one thing, they feel that they are disappointing their parent by coming up short. Two, they feel that this is something that they can't help, so they feel inherently defective. And this is exactly how I felt growing up. I simply didn't even know the vocabulary. I was talking to another friend of mine I grew up with who is trans and out longer than I have, in fact. And, you know, her and I, back when we were boys, we simply did not have the vocabulary. These were her words. She's very smart. She didn't, you know, we didn't have the vocabulary. We didn't have the thought patterns. We didn't know the words. We didn't know any lexicon. We lived in, you know, straight suburbia, and we grew up there, and we had really no exposure to anything LGBTQ. And whatever exposure that we may have had based on parents' presumptions, it was always negative. And we know that behavior is often learned and not by nurture and not by nature. So imagine a scenario where science has proved that being gay or trans is, you're born that way. Based on the kinds of hormones that are mixed into the womb after conception. The timing has to be just right for kids to come out as straight and cisgender, you know. But sometimes it just doesn't happen that way. And you know, imagine a child when they're born and they grow up and they just realize, no, I feel different. And, you know, I have a lump in my throat. I'm going to cry. It's just, it's so sad. I don't want children to suffer in any way, shape, or form. And it's just been in my experience that kids are, people can pay for the sins of other people's ignorance and can pay for the effects of people's ignorance and fear. Fear of the unknown. It really is too bad. It hurts so many people. And I think all this culminated together over many years as the child comes into their own and they become self-aware about their gender and or sexuality. Usually around, like, sexuality is may vary, but we know. And it's the shame. And God knows I felt shame growing up, feeling different and not having really any outlet, any way to exhibit it, any way to talk to anybody about it. It was just, it made for a rather miserable childhood in some ways. To no fault of my parents. Every parent does the best they can. It doesn't say that children don't do the best they can either. You know, they're kids and they just need to be taught the way of truth and honesty and love and less on agenda, in my humble opinion. So it's, if you feel that you see a child or you see any other friend or family member that seems different, or they're just introverted or in the corner or not speaking, it doesn't mean that they could be gay. It doesn't mean that they could be trans, but there's something about them that is bothering them and they need a voice. And it would be, in my opinion, it would be a Christian thing to do, to just listen without judgment. Stick around. We'll be right back. Hello. Welcome back, folks. It's 5:47. Continuing our hour-long program on this Equality Act of 2019. Today's passage of the Equality Act by the House is a powerful step toward a future where millions of LGBTQ Americans and their families no longer have to worry about facing discrimination at work or in their communities, as quoted from CBS News, too many Americans live in states with outdated laws that leave our LGBTQ neighbors, friends, and family vulnerable to discrimination. UFCW Outreach Chair Michelle Kessler said in a statement. She continues, "We are proud to stand with Americans across the country in support of the Equality Act and urge the Senate to do the right thing and pass this bill immediately." So, it says it continues, end quote, continues, "But most Republicans voted against the bill on Friday, calling it another example of government overreach. Many spoke out during the debate." So government outreach, but this also could be somehow some outdated laws out there that support, could possibly support discrimination against those who are LGBTQ. I mean, is that government overreach, or when governments, local town governments or state governments won't do nothing when someone is ridiculed or someone who is LGBTQ, a kid or even, you know, worse, children or adults or anybody who is unfairly discriminated against. Like, say, the gay couple in Colorado a number of years ago that they wanted a wedding cake made for their wedding. And the cake maker in Colorado, I don't recall the town, due to their religious convictions, refused to make them a cake. This story went on for quite some time, and eventually got into the courts, and it was eventually just sort of forgotten about. Had there been protections in place, this is not government overreach. This is just maintaining liberty and justice and happiness for people who can't defend themselves in any other way except just a small voice. And when it's a town or a city or a state versus an innocent, friendly couple, it's kind of the kind of unfair, isn't it? The story goes on to continue. Republican Congressman Ross Spano of Florida went so far as to quote Coretta Scott King, the wife of civil rights champion Martin Luther King Jr., in its floor speech opposing the bill. Coretta Scott King wisely said, "Freedom is never really won. We earn it and win it in every new generation," Spano said Friday. "H.R. 5 is bad for freedom. You see it, it would immediately expose churches, religious schools, and universities and faith-based organizations to legal liability for simply following their earnest beliefs." But once again, I don't understand this, because it's like, it's not sinful. Did Jesus ever say, "Thou shalt not be gay, thou shalt not be trans"? He talked about the eunuchs. He talked about how blessed they are. And a eunuch is generally regarded by most people as a trans person. A similar bill in the Senate faces long odds in the Republican-controlled chamber, something Lambda Legal, a legal advocacy group that works to protect the rights of the LGBT community, knows fully well. It goes as quoted to saying, "We know the Equality Act faces an uphill battle in the U.S. Senate, but it shouldn't. LGBT Americans continue to face appalling, unjust discrimination in many aspects of their everyday lives. We know this from the thousands of calls Lambda Legal's help desk gets each year from all corners of our country. Specifically, we know that workplace discrimination is one of the most frequent problems that LGBT people face. Workplace equality has been a top priority for Lambda Legal since our founding nearly 50 years ago. It remains one today," said Lambda Legal interim CEO Richard Burns. So I would hate to have a scenario where, say, my son or daughter or whatever, or non-binary child, is freshly graduated from college, and say their experience was a positive one, and it was a rather liberal school, and so forth, and they're near the top of their class, and they're hardworking, and they can't get a job in the South because they look different. And this creates all forms of unjust judgments and unrighteous judgments on that person. You know, say if the child was, say if the young person was born female and they have short hair, some would call it butchy hair, or colors or anything like that, or maybe one too many piercings or whatever. Yes, you dress to impress and put your best foot forward in an interview. I get it. But later on down the road, say if they do get the job, I hope it's based on their merit and on their abilities rather than their beliefs or their appearance. Or say if it comes out later on that it leaks out that she is a lesbian, or say he is a gay male. Or they found out that they are trans and they decide to find a way to get that person out because they don't want to deal with diversity. Remember, diversity and adversity are completely two different things. And although they might rhyme and sound the same, they couldn't be more different. To confuse the two, to consider someone being different than you and ridicule them because of that goes back to kindergarten, where you see again little Timmy, a little Susie in the corner, and they're, you know, the boy might be quiet or the girl might be rambunctious and so forth. It's they could have gifts that their otherwise different behavior wouldn't show. You know, they give someone the benefit of the doubt. They're human beings just like you are, just like me, just like anybody else. It's just I don't understand. I mean, I wouldn't want to be mean to anybody. It's just really too bad. So we need support. We need just word of mouth. Just consider someone's feelings, you know. I've thought a little bit this week about duty and honor and doing the right thing and feelings and empathy and these kinds of different attributes of interpersonal behavior. And I once again, due to my convictions, especially as a Christian woman, I want to be Christ-like, and I want to put him first. And that means that someone that has a bad day, or someone that appears very different, or is severely handicapped, anyone from a Nobel laureate to a NASA engineer, a farmer, someone who's been in prison for 50 years. Based on the power of the higher power that I know of, I try my darndest, and I do this willingly, try to see the person within as opposed to their exterior, and just see them as the way God sees them. You know, I'll never see their heart, but just look at them knowing that they have a story too. And it's wonderful knowing that someone who might appear different than you, someone who appears scary, or just someone that you don't understand visually, or their behavior might be misunderstood, ends up coming out to be a very nice person. And you walk away feeling great, knowing you had a wonderful conversation with someone that was different than you, and you feel good. I don't mean to make this sound like a pipe dream or just an example of Katy Perry's firework or anything like that. You know, this is just a person-to-person thing. It's the way I feel. So, to close this article on CBS News, legal interim CEO Richard Burns continues, "We call on the Senate to give the Equality Act the full, fair, and comprehensive consideration it deserves." President Trump, who reportedly opposes the bill, is widely expected to veto the legislation if it ever reaches his desk. I mean, I ask for what? You know, why would he want to do that? But anyway, so this closes our show for tonight. And I want to thank you for listening. I didn't mean to, if I sounded preachy, I really didn't mean to. This is only me, the third time I've done this alone. But Laura should be back next week. She does a far better job at this than I do. And we welcome seeing her again. And until then, just be kind to one another. And that's really what it boils down to. Peace out, everyone. Goodbye.